Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, The Christ That Dwells Within Us.
St. John chapter number 3, and hone in on verse number 30. St. John chapter number 3 and hone in verse 30, but I'll give you the points out of verse 22 through 36. But verse 30 says, he must increase. Go ahead and read the rest of it for me. How many of you guys want to see the fullness of God in your life? How many of you guys just want to see a little bit more Jesus in your life? How many of you just want more? All right, well, I'm going to tell you how you do it today, all right? Let's read verse 30 again, all right? Read it real loud. He must, and I must, for the next 5 to 7 minutes, I want to talk for you from subject, decrease. Decrease. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. These next few moments, God, let me, oh God, articulate what you're saying to your people. Let me speak with a clear sound, Father. Let me speak with a clear voice. You said your sheep knoweth your voice, and a stranger they will not follow. God, now, Lord, let me speak as your oracle. Let me speak truth. And in these next moments, oh God, let me give them applicable principles how it is that we must decrease. We want the more of God. But in 1 John chapter 4 and 2, it says that we will no longer live the rest of our times to the lust of the flesh, but to the will of God. Lord, we now, Lord, really want more of you. And Father, as my study time, as I've walked with you this week, as you talk to me, you've said decrease. You want more? Decrease. And so, Father, as I speak today, God, speak to your people and let them hear what you're saying to them and let them change their lives, that they'll never be the same again. I ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said amen and amen. Decrease. Do me a favor, say it a couple times, decrease. Come on, say it a couple more times, say decrease. Come on, say it one or two more times, decrease, decrease, decrease. How many of you want more of God? Come on, if you're sitting by somebody that got their hand up, go ahead and speak to them, say decrease. I wish I had a little bit more time, but because I don't, I'm going to cut and paste. I'm going to bring to you what it is I think that is most important about what God has said to us. But the main fact that I want us to understand is now, because Christ is dwelling within us, all right, we understand how he came to dwell within us by us confessing. We understand that he came, amen, for the purpose and plan to, amen, specifically do what John told us he was going to do, but then also to empower us. And so in order for us to experience what he came for, then there's a profound understanding that we must get, and it's very simple, decrease. I feel like taking you to one of my philosophy classes because in philosophy, especially in most American colleges, we learn from a Eurocentric model and from the period of enlightenment with the likes of Nietzsche and I could just keep naming them and you'd look at me like, who in the world are you talking about? But From the days of enlightenment, most human beings have been taught to move away from communal teachings, move away from teachings of the traditions, and traditions specifically, oral traditions handed down by family in the community that brought us to a strong moral compass. Well, enlightenment took us away from learning like that, and it brought us to the doctrine of me, myself, and I. That's why now the iPhone, the iPad, everything I, me, myself, and I is very important. And somebody would say, well, why are you talking about this? Because there is a communal thought that he must increase, but I must decrease. But when I now operate under the philosophers, and I promise you I'm not going to be that long, even though I'm starting at a long place that I would love to expound on, I don't have time to do it, but the philosophers of enlightenment, they taught us to be self-centered and to focus on self. And here is the greatest place it brought us to: do what thou wilt. Do what thou wilt. If you think it's right, do it. What is truth? And the philosophers of enlightenment taught us that truth is what I, the individual, deem truth to be. And this is dangerous because Jesus said, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. And he goes a little further and he says to those that are operating under this spirit of me, myself, and I, he says in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will. And there are three words, and I'm really cutting and pacing and moving into my sermon, so I won't keep you all day. There's a place that every Christian must navigate through, and there are three words that you really need to put in your vocabulary. And when I heard this, I heard your holy vocabulary. With understanding, we've come trying to get out of enlightenment, and we're trying to get into Christendom, and we're trying to be good Christians. There are three words that you've must put in your holy vocabulary if you're going to get out of this me, myself, and I doctrine and do what thou wilt doctrine, and you're going to live like Christ would have you to live. There are three words that you've got to put in your holy vocabulary, and they're not good for those that like enlightenment, me, myself, and I. The three words are sacrifice, surrender, and decrease. Sacrifice, surrender, and decrease. You will never make St. John 3 and 30 a present truth as long as you're walking out what the philosophers of enlightenment told us to walk out. They told us, do what we will. And if you're cool with it, who's to judge what you're cool with? If it's okay in your eyes, and they thought they was creating something new until I picked up the book of Judges. The Bible says in the book of Judges, every man did what was right in their own eyes. If we're going to walk out, and Edward, you're getting ready to doxology me. If we're going to walk out this Christ within us, if we're going to allow, because I'm telling you, when he comes in you, he wants to increase more and more. That's why Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Christ wants to come out, but he will not come out when you're attempting to dominate him. And you are saying where he can be released. And you are determining he can speak towards that, but he can't speak towards this. Sacrifice, and I'm almost there. Surrender, decrease. Come on, somebody walk with me. Say sacrifice. Say it slowly. Don't say it fast. Sacrifice. Surrender. Decrease. I want to say this real loud and clear because this is the crux of my whole message today. If you don't put those three words in your holy vocabulary, that becomes a part of your holy walk, you will never see the move of God. And you will consistently straddle the fence. Hallelujah. And you will constantly struggle with lukewarmness in order to see the full manifestation of Christ. You're going to have to sacrifice. And we Americans, them not our kind of words. And y'all know I'm telling the truth here. Surrender. Surrender. See, y'all see? I can't even get anybody to say anything. I know y'all listening to me, but you know, there's certain preachers that say certain things and you say, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm telling the truth. Those are words that we've nearly thrown out of our vocabulary. And here's a deeper one, Minister Holden. Those are now looked at as negative words. Sacrifice?
Surrender.
I ain't that kind of woman. I don't surrender. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Dog, I don't get down like that, dude. I'm not that kind of dude. I don't surrender nothing. Decrease. Decrease. But the Bible says, and Jesus called him of men born to woman, there is no other man in the earth like John. And John comes to us and say, in order for more of Christ to dwell within you, he got to increase and you got to decrease. Do me a favor. Talk to your neighbor one more time. Say decrease. Decrease. There are three things that we must understand if we're going to capture this thought of decreasing. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm at the stage in my life that I keep saying, God, I want you, I want you. I've driven the best cars. I've lived in all kind of houses. I've traveled the world. I've traveled to countries. I've done pretty much everything that most could imagine doing in a lifetime. And I'm looking up saying, now, God, what I want is more of you. I don't need a lot of that other stuff. You think I'm making this stuff up. Ask my wife. She asked my birthday, and she has to ask for days and days. And because I keep telling her, you might can't give me what I want. I want more of him. And so in order for us to have more of him, and I know this wasn't going to be a shout me down message, but I knew it was a necessary message, because if we keep on living with what's coming on the land, we all going to need more of Christ. And in order for that to happen, we have to decrease. Somebody said to me one more time, say decrease, decrease. There are three things, Edward, and you can get rid of doxology. I mean, we must understand. The first one is found in St. John chapter number 3, verse 22 through 26. And I'm not going to read them because of time's sake. How do I decrease? All right. St. John 3 and verse 22 through 26. And I hope you go back and read, because this is a powerful passage. This is a powerful passage. And John and Jesus said, there's no other man like John on the earth. And John says, now I'm going to prescribe to you how to decrease that he might increase. All right, number one, refuse to be distracted by others' dilemmas, Christ's additional workings, and the work of the evil one. And I wish I had time to work with that Christ's additional workings, but I really don't have time. In the text, they come to John, and they're telling him what Christ is doing over there. But they're telling him about what Christ is doing over well to get him distracted from what he's doing. And this is very heavy, Quasi. You could dig this out. All right. If I'm going to decrease that he might increase, at some point in my life, what's going on? Okay, and I know you're not going to receive this that well, but I'm going to say it anyway. Sometimes what's going on with them, I got to leave it going on with them, and I can't let it get in my life. I'm decreasing now because he might increase. So I knew you guys wasn't going to say amen there, but I'm going to say it again. Every now and then, thank you, Elder LaShawn. I got a witness there so I can preach right there. Every now and then, I'm sorry, guys. You might not want to hear that. Every now and then, what's going on with them, I just can't give too much attention to. Look at you. Some of our problem is we have Christ complexes. We think we can save folks. We think we can get them out of it. We think we can carry them through it. You didn't say nothing. There is some stuff going on with some folk. We got to leave them be where they are. Okay, y'all. I know. Somebody told you we supposed to save everybody. No. That's Christ's job. You ain't hear what I said. No. He ain't never told us to save everybody. That's Christ's job. Might be the season to what's going on with them, leave it with them. I can't let that in my world right now. I can't let that in my space. I got sons depending on me. And I ain't just talking about natural sons. I got cities calling on me to have prayer watches. And you trying to tell me what? You trying to do what? You trying to tell me what? They couldn't figure out. My wife, and I love my wife. My wife was telling me something about my son the other day. I said, sweetheart, he's a child. We probably counsel him about this next year. And she said, what do you mean? I said, don't tell it to me like the world's ending. The world ain't ending because he did this in school. I said, some decision that he got to make, I got to let him understand, because you're making this decision, you're going to live with this the rest of your life. I knew y'all were going to look at me like that. We want to keep everybody from everything we went through, and it's impossible. We want to make them the best that they can be at four. Y'all, Naomi, I'm trying to get you delivered. We trying to make little Solo some real big, strong man that can do stuff that folks 30 don't do. Come here, Solo. Let me work with you today. We trying to make look, my man look. Come, so come on, buddy. Work with me. I'm preaching. Come on. This is my man, y'all. We trying to make him be something. That hold and stand up for me. How old are you, son? That he ain't figured out yet. And we trying to make him be something that he ain't even figured out yet. And we pulling out our hair. Come on, Solomon. 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 And God keeps saying, how old is Solomon? God keeps saying, he's two. He's two. One of the things I quote to my wife all the time. With children, thank you, Holden, you can sit down. With children, foolishness is bound in their heart. I know you think that's the cutest baby that was ever born, but they got some foolish in there. You just can't see it because you're the daddy and you're the mama. You think that's the cutest little baby that ain't ever going to do anything and ain't ever going to go to them. Okay, all right, let's let them keep living. But the bigger thing that I want you to see, the bigger thing I want you to see is, it's not just with our children. We got some friends that's got some stuff going on with them. That's their dilemma. And right now, if you try to take it on, it's going to wear you out, and it's going to prevent the Christ that's being worked out in you to stop being worked out on you, and you're going to be some places that you ain't got no business being, frustrated, mad, upset. And Christ said, come back home, go to sleep so I can finish working out in you what I'm working out. Don't get distracted by other dilemma. They say to John, they say, John, Christ is over here baptizing. And this is one of the most powerful, powerful scriptures that I've ever read. John never goes to see what Christ is doing. John goes right back to baptizing. Then they really try to lure him in. They say, John, not only is he baptizing, all men are coming to him. What they're trying to make him, what they're trying to make him think is, he's doing more than you. This is a powerful text, y'all. And guess what John does while they're telling him all of that? He goes right back to baptizing. You know what statement John is making? John is saying, I got to work while it's day. Because night is coming. And no man is working. The statement that John is making, if that's Christ, I told y'all, I'm not Christ. What he was really saying is, I'm not in competition with that. Somebody say with me real loud, I'm not in competition. Come on, stay with me, sir. Come on, somebody say, I'm not in competition with that. Sometimes people are feeding you information because they want you to try to compete with what you should never be competing with. You're not competing with your coworker. You're not competing with the Joneses. Could y'all please tell me, where can I find the Joneses? I'm talking about them Joneses. I'm talking about them Joneses that y'all did. If somebody on your job get a new car, you're not competing with them. You better drive that car you paid for and get in there and wash it. Say, thank you, Jesus. Don't get distracted. Can I say something real loud? He is good. distracted. Can y'all stay with me? Don't get distracted when you get the report that somebody else is doing more than you doing. We hear about somebody else doing something and then we will break our freaking neck. And you can ask my wife. I don't have no problem cussing. She ain't never heard me cuss. She's been married to me 19 years. I know some of y'all was getting ready to tweet. Pastor, never cussed today. No, I'm not a cussing preacher. Not me. I can't testify about nobody else preaching, but I'm talking about my preaching. I don't cuss. But I did say freaking. Somebody said, that's close. You're not competing with that. John makes a statement here to his disciples. I'm not competing with that. Unmarried women, that should free you counting the time when it's time for you to get married. Some of y'all are graced to get married at 18 and you had to get married at 18. Others, you'll get married at 20. Others will get married at 30. Somebody say, keep going. Others, you get married at 35. Others, you get married at 45. Do you not know that somebody had a baby at 90? So you too old for what? If one had a baby at 90, you sure can get married at 51, 52, 45, whatever's close to your age. All I'm trying to tell you is stop competing. John says in the text, that ain't who I am. That's who he is. You're not competing with your coworkers for the next raise. You're trying to show God. Because promotion comes from above. You're trying to show God that I can be trusted with a little bit. That he might make me ruler over much. Don't get distracted by others' dilemmas. Don't get distracted by Christ's additional workings, and then don't get distracted by the working of the evil one. I don't want to spend too much time there. The devil gonna do what he gonna do. And I'm gonna keep saying this real loud, and I know a lot of people, and I might even lost some folks because I keep saying this. There's a spirit of Antichrist over America right now. And I'm gonna keep saying it. I don't care if people don't like me saying this. There's a spirit of Antichrist. So the devil gonna do what he's supposed to do. And we better just recognize it and not get so distracted because he signed one more legislation. My life is not, I'm feeling like preaching right there. My life is not predicated by what legislation Donald Trump, Obama, anybody signed. It's been written, blessed you shall be in the field. Blessed you shall be in the city. Blessed will you be when you come. Blessed shall you be when you come. Ain't nothing can bless because what God has blessed. And I'm not gonna get consumed about what's going on in the White House. I'm not gonna waste nights of sleep when I can be sleeping, worrying about what that dude did. My hope is built on nothing less than Christ and his righteousness. And the government shall be on his shoulder. These things, oh God, I've been preaching now. These things are happening. They had to be because they've been prophesied. And we better stop spending so much time about the work of the evil ones. What are they going to do next? I'm telling you what they're going to do next. They're going to set you up to be blessed. They're going to set you up to testify a little louder. They're going to now make you not ashamed to call on the name of Jesus. Don't get caught up in that stuff. It's distracting you from decreasing. Number two, y'all, and I have to get finished. Number two. We must know who we are not and who Christ is making us to be. We must know who we are not. John says real lightly, did I not keep telling y'all I'm not the Christ? He says it loud. He said, I done told y'all over and over and over and over, and y'all keep trying to make me something that I'm not. And now this is going to challenge all of our pride. You didn't hear what I said. This is going to challenge all of our pride Because y'all know, we like to be portrayed a lot of times in a manner that we are not. Man, y'all, listen, y'all. Y'all listen to me. I talk about myself. When I go play basketball, I don't know, Chris is 18. How old is Chris? I go play basketball, and some of the young guys are as young as 18. But when I go out there, y'all know what I want them to say? I want them to say, Lawrence is the man. And y'all can tell how I play sometimes. Man, he's trying to reach back and do stuff. And that's how I tore one of my MCL trying to do a move that I ain't done in 20 years. Why do I do that? Because I want to be portrayed as the man on the basketball court at 52. And I ought to know good and well at 52 I ain't the man no more. In her world. And that's the important world. Guys, hear me real clearly. We want to be portrayed and we want to be seen in images that we are just not. We can't even live up to what they want us to be. And we're breaking our neck trying to be that. You know what I'm talking about. You ever had that friend that tell you, I thought you were going to be there? I thought you told me you'd never leave me. I thought you told me you'd always look out for me. Well, you ought to tell them that. You ought to know I couldn't do that if I told you that. Who am I, God? Guys, we got to, I'm talking about if we, because hear me, decreasing becomes a problem when I don't know who I am. And I'm trying to be something that I'm not. John had no problem saying to us, he must increase, because John kept telling them, that ain't who I am. That ain't me. You might want to make me to be that, but that ain't me. And some of us have family members, some of us have coworkers, and I'm going to say this real loud, some of us have friends that we need to let them know, that ain't me. I'm going to try to be there, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I won't always be there. Sometimes I just don't feel like answering the phone. And y'all notice how quiet that got? Sometimes I don't have no words for your dilemma. Well, I thought you was a prophet. I am. And it don't make me less than a prophet. But I didn't say I was the master prophet. His name Jesus. Wait, John says, I told y'all that ain't who I am. And some under the sound of my voice, you need to get a release because you're trying to be everything to everybody.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.